We're a whole lot later. We can do this. We can do this. I declare it and decree it in Jesus' name. Okay, so I just wanted to share really quick. Some of you guys already know this because you were there at the conference and have seen my Facebook post, but I wanted to just to release some boldness. I feel like there's supposed to be a declaration of boldness that gets released tonight because I pulled on Papa's, I pulled on Papa, okay, for some stuff. A lot of transitioning and stuff going on in our life and just some things that I, you know, and it's really funny for me to even say it out loud because I think I'm a pretty bold person, but in my prayers I think have been pretty bold. But you know, it's like when it goes to the next level, then you can look back and go, oh, I wasn't near as bold as I thought I was, or I didn't really know as much. Kind of like my first pregnancy, I thought that the epidural kind of worked, but kind of didn't, and then the next time when I couldn't get it, like I knew that it did work something. You know, and the first time, it's kind of like one of those things, by comparison is the only way to know. And so I pulled on Papa, and I asked boldly, and I said, God, I want to hear. We went to go hear a worship conference in Austin and went to go hear Sean Boltz. I'd never heard him live before, but just love his ministry. And just, I want to make this really short, but Lord help me. I pulled on Papa and I said, you know what? I'm asking. And I'm going to throw a fit about it. And I'm like, I'm not just asking like, Papa, if you want to. I started saying, I want to hear you through the mouth of Sean, whatever it is that he's going to teach. I need some confirmation about some stuff. I know he's going to release some prophetic words for different people. I don't even have to have one, but man, it would be amazing if you'd be like, hey, is there a Cindy and a Chris in the room? Like, I would just love that. But, you know, I want to hear confirmation. Because, you know, when people speak, you get stuff. Or sometimes, you know, I go and I'm like, oh, that was good, but there wasn't like this new thing. Well, I needed some answers about some things, okay? And so I did, and apparently I pulled hard enough in my faith to be able to shock myself. you know, not pull hard enough on God, I didn't mean that, but hard, like that my faith went to a whole other level because I walked in the room and I knew that he was gonna say some stuff. So he started talking about releasing the creatives into creativity and I'm like, bam, confirmation, because we are totally trying to plan an Unleashing the Creative conference with Latimer, my friend Latimer, who was here not too long ago doing prophetic art and different things, and she's got a dream team that she wants to bring. So we're pressing into that. I'm like, okay, yes, that's confirmation. Right? So I'm like, okay, Lord's talking to me. So I'm listening. And so he starts speaking and sharing and highlighting some verses that stood out to me. Again, I know they're not coincidences. So I'm like, okay. And I lean in a little bit more. And then as he starts prophesying over people, he will call out words of knowledge. We'll practice here in just a minute for healing. But he asks for words of knowledge in order to then release a prophetic word. Remember, we talked about releasing words of knowledge for healing. Well, we can do that in the prophetic as well. And so that's what he does. And so he was practicing. And I love that he demonstrated, hey, y'all, I'm just practicing. And there are a few things he missed. But there were some things that he got, bam, like right on with people. Like, here's your name, and here's your kids' names, and here's where you live, and here's where you're from, and you just moved from this place or whatever. And like, oh, that's the person. And then he starts giving a prophetic word over them. And there were some things that he said about a couple of them that were like, oh, that's what I needed to hear. Thank you, Lord. And then right before he's finished, like I'm thinking he's done, he then says, well, because see, most of his words he gets in worship and he releases them from that place, you know, in the room. And he says, well, I got a word on the plane over here, and so I'm going to go ahead and we'll just see. And he says, is there a Cynthia and a Chris? And of course, I'm freaking out because that's my real name, Cynthia. Long story short, he calls out my name. Of course, it would happen to be the night that Chris and the kids stayed home to rest because we were at the conference all weekend and they were exhausted. And we've just had to learn in ministry life, you have to learn balance, right? And so that's what we had to do. And my husband is amazing to let me do all the stuff that I get to do. So he stayed home as daddy. But then I was like, oh, he's not here for this one, but it's okay. So I went up, he gave us some great words, literally confirmed a conversation almost like verbatim in a couple sentences of a conversation that I had with Chris about things that afternoon, literally just a couple hours ago. So I'm tripping. I'm like, and then at the same time, I'm laughing because I'm like, I teach this stuff. I shouldn't be this shocked. I shouldn't be this surprised, right? But it's like, oh my God. And the whole time after, as I was processing with some of the people that were there, I was like that was God. Like, you know, and I compare the analogy to like, just like when we're teaching about healing, you're going to go after it and you're going to be bold for it and you're going to believe in it and you're going to pray for it. And you, of course he heals and you want to see it or you wouldn't be doing it, right? But then when it happens, like your spirit goes, yay. And then a part of your brain goes, what just happened? Right? Like there's just this little place of what? And all I can tell you is, after processing that with the Father, like there was the word that came to me was like, there was a settlement in my spirit. Okay, there was a settlement, a peace. It was just a different kind of peace. Okay, it was a confidence. It was another layer of bold faith. And I like to pray specifically not for measures of faith, but God, I want your faith. I want supernatural faith. I want the gift of faith. I want God's faith because he doesn't have any doubt, right? So when I pray for faith, that's what I ask for. And that's what I know happened in that moment. And so I just declared it that, you know, my prayers are now bolder. Like, so then the next day I hear from my brother that he has melanoma cancer. A spot on his back, and it's too deep for the dermatologist to remove, so they're going to have to go in and do what they can to remove and see what's going on. So I'm asking for your prayers about that, but I'm declaring and decreeing, like, the devil is stupid, because he totally, like, picked the wrong day to mess with me and my family, because my prayers are now like, oh, it's finished, like, it's done. Like, it ain't gonna happen. There's no room or no permission. There's no fear that's allowed in it. And the minute I heard about it, my brother actually had to leave me the message. It was really late that night. And so I called him the next morning and got a chance to talk to him finally. And the first thing the Lord told me, because he said it was on his back, the first thing he said, I heard the word betrayal. And so when I started to share some things with him and walked through some of the same stuff we just talked about, right, looking for what's the open door, whatever, God, what, how do I need to pray about this or whatever, like, give me strategy on how to pray for this. And I heard that. He confirmed there's been some stuff in business where there's been some betrayals and a whole lot of things are going on. And so I just said, well, that's confirmation for me that I know exactly how I'm praying. I know exactly what started this. The timing of it fit. You know how we ask, well, about how long ago was it? Well, it was about the same time that all this stuff happened, is the same time that the mole began to shift. So I'm releasing that testimony to you. Several different layers there. One, you can pull on your faith inside of you and pull on the faith of God, right? To be like, God, I need answers. I thank you that you are good and you give me answers, and now I'm going to start looking for them. And even if they didn't, I mean, they came much bigger than I thought they were going to come, right? But with childlike faith, I said, well, I want it. I want it. You know, you ever have a kid say that? Well, I want it, you know, so that's what I did. I had a little holy tantrum, and I said, I need some answers, God, and I want it tonight, and this is how I want it, and then he went big with it, okay? So exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or even imagine, right? Like, there is a season of favor that is happening right now, and it's been confirmed. There was another word released by, I think it was Jane Hammond on the Elijah List, about supernatural faith as well, and just the favor, a season of favor that we're in right now. And so I feel like there's just an impartation available, an invitation available of a place of bold faith to go up another level, right? Like, he is so good. And any place in us that still doubts that or still wonders, I mean, it's going to get tested, okay? It's going to get tested. But remember that word test is an opportunity to prove what you know. Okay, we shouldn't have test anxiety. Okay, a test is to prove what you know. You've been learning, you take a test so that you can go on to the next level. He takes us from glory to glory, right? So every time the enemy wants to throw something our way, he wants to use it in motivation of fear to say, oh yeah, let's see what you know. Let's see if you really believe this, right? But the Father's like, oh, this has taken you from glory to glory. Come on, prove what you know. You know what you know, right? And you know him. So it's an invitation to go to the next level. So I'm just going to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to give you 30 seconds right after I pray. I'm going to pause for about 30 seconds. And I want you to ask God for words of knowledge. You're going to practice. I'm going to have you stand up, and you're going to release a word of knowledge for healing. Let's just do that. We'll just do healing. Let me keep it simple. So if you get a word of knowledge after we pray, if there's something you feel like you're getting, then I want you to test it out. We'll hand you the mic, and then we'll start praying for people for healing. But we've got to start hearing words of knowledge. We've got to start testing it out. We've got to start risking by faith. You don't have to be Sean Bolts and risk it in front of 2,000 people. But we have, what, 50 or something here? So, but we're family. Let's do this, okay? So, Father God, I thank you for this invitation to go into a whole other level of faith in our prayers, a whole other place of boldness, God, that we agree with you. Father, that we're not just saying that we believe this stuff, we believe it. That we believe it in any place inside of us that any shred, any little dust bunny in a corner that does not believe in any way, shape, or form has to go right now. Just let the wind of Holy Spirit blow inside of us, in and out, and just remove everything that hinders, every place of doubt. Just release right now, Father, an impartation of your supernatural faith being deposited right now for bold prayers. God, we don't have to beg. And I thank you, God, that we don't have to have holy tantrums neither. We just have to ask you and then believe it. And believe it. And I thank you that you're so good to give us confirmations, Lord, to increase our faith. How kind you are to give us specific confirmations. But yes, we do hear you. Yes, you are our daddy. Yes, you know every detail of our life. Yes, you got this. Thank you. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, release words of knowledge now. Tell us what you want to do tonight. What do you want to heal? All right, who's got a word of knowledge? Stand up. Go ahead and stand up. If you've got a word of knowledge, stand up, and I'll get to you. Go ahead, Judy.
As we were praying, I had a pain.
Is that on? There we go.
As we were praying, I got a pain like in the side of my arm here between the elbow and shoulder, and the Lord told me that there may be somebody with that going on.
Okay. Raise your hand. Does that make sense to anybody? Pain in the left arm near the shoulder? Okay. And just pass the mic around.
On the right-hand side, you know how you have those little bones that go down your neck? Mm-hmm. Someone with a pain there, and it might be starting like in the crease of your eye going up, but prominently down the back of your neck.
Does that make sense to anybody? Wave your hand. Okay. Take mental note of some of these. They may or may not be in the room. They may be for somebody that you'll run into later.
I didn't have a sense, but I heard the word gallbladder. Anybody with a gallbladder issue? Gallstones?
Does that make sense, anybody? Wave your hand.
I had my gallbladder taken out. I've had issues
with it ever since. Okay, gallbladder there. Thank you, Lord.
I got pancreas, and I don't know if it's because of diabetes or something like that. And then when I stood up, I felt a real heaviness in my bowel areas. Real heaviness there.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Both the gallstone and the pancreas, the same person. Yeah. Somebody used to go to church here. Their daughter is in the hospital right now with the thing of possible gallstone they missed whenever they took out her gallbladder 2 weeks ago and her pancreas with pancreatitis.
Okay. Thank you, God.
Mine kind of hits with this lady in the white. I have back of neck, and it's kind of to the right.
Yeah, I've got some neck stuff, too, stiffness.
Yeah, I got neck, back, you know, right? But then I also, when I stood up, I had, like, heavy pressure and almost, like, a vibrating, like, just heavy sense of, like, pressure in, like, the back part of the skull going up on each side.
Does that make sense, anybody? Migraines?
Mine's different. I got a word. It was real strong. Broken record. You know, and sometimes I'll have to kind of decipher things, and I started thinking, well, like LP, I don't know if that means, I don't know medical terms, but broken record, broken record, broken record. Maybe it's like something over and over again that keeps coming back. Okay.
Okay.
Kristen. I saw a picture of someone with a nose ring, and maybe there was like an infection or something from a nose ring.
Okay. Christy?
Two mornings in a row, I've woken up with pain coming all through this area right here.
Upper shoulder, yeah, behind the back.
And it was not here this morning. I woke up while you're praying.
Okay. Heaviness in the upper back area right here. Is that you, Mark? Okay.
I saw like allergies, and I saw a picture of like it was a room. It could have been a classroom. Workplace, and it looked like there might be black mold in the wall that they can't tell. But then also, then I saw some like flowers and stuff, like they may have outdoor allergies as well.
Okay, so that one's good. Two more.
So around the right ball of your leg, or your foot, there's pain right here, and then maybe some right in here.
In the inner calf on the right leg or the ankle. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay.
I heard that someone has a urinary tract problem, to the point that maybe your urine has been discolored sometimes, like orange or something. And kidney pain that comes and goes, like right here.
Okay, Judy.
Before Cindy started praying, I get in a word or something, but I felt like somebody in the lower back, they had an issue, maybe they had surgery or something, and maybe the few, I don't know, that there's this pain, that lower.
Lower back pain? Is that you now?
I had injections today.
Injections today for that. Okay, thank you, God. Do you have one, Judy?
No, I was just going to...
Oh, you're claiming that?
Lower
back's right there. Okay. All righty. Well, the words of knowledge have been released, so if that's God and he's saying he wants to do it and you have that, then go ahead and begin to start testing out if you're able. Test out before we pray. He's already released the words. We know he wants to do it. Go ahead and test it out, and let's just see if there's any shifting. If anyone has any shifting, just wave your hands. If you feel like there's... anything happening, just test out whatever it is.
I'm going to take that neck thing.
Yeah. I've had some tension in my neck. And I keep getting the left knuckles, left hand, like I don't know if it's arthritis or I don't know. I keep feeling like it's piano fingers. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but it's the left hand more than the right hand. Or typing, maybe. It's these two. Okay, knees feeling better? Thank you, God. All right. Okay. So, Father, we thank you right now for the release of words of knowledge. We thank you that, Lord, that you're opening our ears to hear. So, Father, we release healing right now. Let it manifest for those in the room, Lord, and for any and every person who needs a healing in this room right now. God, we thank you, even without the words of knowledge, that we can pray and declare and decree healing in this room. So we thank you. We command every spirit of affliction to leave in Jesus' name, all pain to go, every sickness, every disease to leave in Jesus' name. And we receive and release healing right now, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And Lord, would you remind us of any of these words as we run into other people, Lord, and as we intercede for other people that are not here in this room today, would you bring it back to our memory that we can check with them as well? We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Any other shifting? Anybody else have something you want to test it out? No, that's a great question. No, it's okay. To see something shift or whatever means, you know, like if you had a pain on a, you know, out of a 10-point scale and the pain was an 8, did it go down to a 6? Did it get better or worse? Do you feel any heat or any difference, right? If there's any... shift in that issue, whatever it is. That's what I mean when I say that. It's a great question, though. Thank you. Ears cleared while she was, while we were praying. Great. Thank you, Jesus. More. All the way, Lord. All the way. Okay. And knees improving. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. More. All the way. 100% in Jesus' name. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it can apply in other situations as well. But the Holy Spirit told me, you will not be healed. You need to be disciplined. And that was that word that, you know, for some people where God is taking you, for what's coming, you have to be able to crucify your flesh and be disciplined, discipline your lifestyle, because you're going to be in positions where if you can't be disciplined in your body, your spirit's going to break down. And he just got a scripture right now that confirmed that word that I just got. So
when you ask for the word of knowledge, praying and of it being quiet, and all I got was the Holy Spirit said help. And then he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health.
Yeah, as your soul prospers, that's right. Yeah.
I'm going to let you this time. It's like I've been walking with God a long time. I'm not letting you just get healed and just keep eating the wrong stuff. You've got to adjust.
Yeah, that's a good word.
I don't know if that's what. That's why I looked up healing. It didn't kind of, didn't seem like it applied, so I didn't know if I wanted to say
yeah. No, thank you for saying it. Because listen, it certainly applies to your life, right? There was a check in you that you know that that was the Lord. So no, I think that's great. And I think there's truth in that. I mean, you know, you ask any doctor and, you know, outside of type 1, type 2 diabetes is perfectly preventable. You know, heart disease is preventable. There's a lot of things that are preventable and we need to be self-disciplined. You know, the word several weeks or months ago, I'd shared a word that the Lord had given us over a couple of years before we knew we'd been moving, but we didn't know where yet or whatever. And the word I kept getting was get your house in order. And I knew he meant on every level. There were projects and things that needed to get done around the house. There was stuff that had to be, you know, and he would keep giving me that same word. So no, that's a great word because there's truth in that. Because we have to grow in character and we have to be self-disciplined. And sometimes our healing will come or your brokenness has come because of things we've gotten out of alignment in. So yeah, and especially if, and I'm going to agree with what you said about, specifically about, in order for him to take you to a whole other level, you're going to have to be disciplined in that way. And the same word we prophesied over, and the same word was given to another speaker. I was listening to his CD, like literally a couple months after I got the same thing, and he said literally the same phrase. The Lord told him, get your house in order. And then he started listing out everything that the Lord told him to do, and it was everything that was on my list. So it's kind of like, get it together, right? Because what he wants to do, you've got to prepare for, right? And so the same thing, even the word I just got just a couple days ago, it was like we just had the conversation, we're just kind of dreaming, talking about it or whatever, and then it was like, bam, no, he wants you to literally start charging people more for what you do because blah, blah, blah. Like he was real specific about like, how are we going to do this? Well, I could charge more. That was our conversation. But no, he's like, no, you have to do this now. So now I'm having to plan strategy for how do I do this to line up with whatever it was that the call of God just said, right? So the same thing is true, whether it's in your business, in your finances. I mean, if you don't honor your money, why would God give you more money if you can't get your finances together and stuff, right? Like, you hear what I'm saying? Like, there are some things that he wants us to get in order, and it does take discipline to hear the Lord, and it won't be the, it won't always be the automatic fix, I don't know how else to say that, right, of sometimes the healing. He'll do it however he wants to do it, but he loves us, that he's going to tell us ahead of time and say, it's not that I don't want you healed, but you got to line up with me, and I'm serious about it. Like, that was the phrase that he said. I am so serious about releasing the two of you that you got to get this together. Because he's going to start doing stuff whether you're ready or not. I want to be the bride who has oil when the bridegroom comes. Right? So we got to be prepared. I mean, that's why we're going through this book. Right, is that we're prepared because we believe that God wants to move in an incredible supernatural way to be able to release his kids to go and do the work of the Father and bring healing in every area that you have, every influence that you have, every place where you go, not just in these little four walls, but everywhere else out there on the highways and the byways, right, of wherever we are, that we have bold faith to be able to say, oh, what happened to you? Well, let me pray for that. That's unacceptable. Right? And then just see it gone. Like, that's why we're talking about this stuff, is because we need to be able to have tools in our tool belt that we can go, oh, this just happened? Guess what? I'm the first responder. Bam. I know what to do in this situation. Right? You hear what I mean? Like, if you're at the swimming pool and something happens, God forbid, and they need somebody to do CPR, well, there's lifeguards there to be able to do that. But what if you're the first one there to see it happen, to pull the kid out? Like, and you've been trained in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, be prepared. So we need to be able to be prepared in every area, in every walk. So no, that's good. Thank you for sharing that, because I think it is important, and I think the Lord's serious about it. Like he's going to do stuff whether you're ready or not. So be ready.
Ma'am, can I just say something?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that I want to hear I got a ministry for you.
Right.
But I'm not hearing anything I keep hearing the same.
Because you're not, well, and if you're not obedient in what he gives you the first round, why would he give you step two?
Right. And those words in the first song that we sang, the breath in my lungs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kid you not, because I started smoking again after 10 years of quitting.
Yeah.
But I started about 9 years ago. I need to quit. So I want to thank you. I needed to hear that.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Good. Mia, do you have something real quick? I don't have the microphone on. Let me get you this microphone, because we're recording, and I want to make sure other people are going to be able to hear you guys, too, because
so God has been talking to me a lot about spirit of anger, and told me to listen to Proverbs over and over and over again. So, you know, I got this new car. We got a new house. I got a new car. And, you know, just a lot of new things in this season. And that's not my personality at all. I mean, you know, all these years I always bought a used car, like, you know, a year old kind of thing, because I'm so prudent. But anyway, so this thing has, like, Apple Play. So I'm listening to the scripture over and over again. He keeps highlighting spirit of anger, spirit of anger, spirit of anger, you know, how destructive it is. And I lived with a spirit of anger for a long, long, long time. I mean, you know, our family was in jeopardy. I was just very angry as a teenager. And, you know, not all the time. I mean, you know, I function in the society really, really well. But I just feel like that's something that America as a society really suffers with, because people, you know, have that grab onto that righteous anger. But, you know, it doesn't belong to men. You know, only, you know, God can be righteously angry. We really can't. You know, when we step into a spirit of anger, then always we end up sinning. So I feel like that's not just a word for me. And on the way to church, also, you know, we had a situation, you know, about spirit of anger again. So I feel like that's just very common to all of us, not just me. So, I mean, you know, I am pretty different, but I think it is. And also, I just wanted to encourage, I don't know her name, but, you know, I feel like that, yes, you know, as a nurse and a healthcare professional, I want to encourage you. Of course, there's a principle of weeping and sowing, and, you know, we have to be disciplined and all of that. But, you know, that's where God's grace steps in, because it is not as easy as it is. I'm not trying to excuse anyone. Easy for someone to quit smoking just like that, or change your habit just like that, because it really takes supernatural grace to be able to say no to things that you're highly addictive substance. Sugar is highly addictive, and so is nicotine, so is all these other substances. So, you know, it's easy for us to step into a place of judgment if it's not your struggle. But if it is, you know how hard it is. So we just need to really come around and, you know, keep each other in prayer and, you know, ask God to pour out supernatural grace to be able to overcome that.
And something that was mentioned too, that Veronica had said earlier, was that, you know, emotional healing is often tied to it too, and that walks right into what we're about to talk about, deliverance. So we're in the last chapter of the Ministry Teen Training Manual, and it is, I'm not going to go through word for word, but there's a lot of really good stuff in here, and we have to at least be able to be equipped for when this stuff shows up, because you're a first responder. And what if a demon manifests and you're right there and you're ministering, and here you were, you thought you were just going to do prayer for physical healing, or you thought you were just going to go and have coffee with a friend, or you thought you were just going to go to the park or go to Kmart. Yeah. Yeah, I should share that testimony. I may have shared that one in here. But yeah. Okay, so Pablo Batari supervised the deliverance tent with Carlos Anacondia in Argentina through major crusades and revival ministry. And so I know Randy gives credit to him and gleans a lot of the information from him to use this model of deliverance. It's a 10-step model. The definition of deliverance is to set a person free from the oppression of a demonic spirit. I am here to tell you that Christians can be oppressed. They cannot be possessed, because that means ownership. If you have Jesus, if you have Holy Spirit within you and you are the Lord's, then he cannot possess you, but he can oppress you. One picture that someone gave to me that I thought was a pretty good picture, you know, if you look at the tabernacle, you've got the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, where the Holy of Holies is your spirit man. That's where the Holy Spirit and your spirit reside together. But your inner court can be your soul man, your emotion, your mind, your thought, life, right? You know, and your behaviors. And then your outer courts can be your physical body, right? So you can look at that. They can't come into the Holy of Holies, but they can affect you. And they can affect Christians. And they are perfectly fine sitting in church on Sunday morning. Just saying. So we need to be aware that evil spirits, you know, are there before conversion, and they may not leave even after conversion necessarily, just because they're converted, right? So we have to be able to cleanse the house, get the house in order, right? And so it's not just about receiving a person to pray a prayer, which, by the way, is extra biblical. It's not in scripture for you to pray a prayer to receive Jesus. It's for you to agree with God and to declare out loud that he is Lord and you receive him. But I like the prayer. Don't get me wrong. It's a good one. You know, it's a good little tool to follow. Makes it really clear, you know. So the same way here, I like how they put it. A demon may torment the host person with different problems, nightmares, unreasonable fear, general accusations of worthlessness, guilt, shame, pain, illness, depression, irrational behavior, and the like. Lots of different symptoms. It can give its host unwelcome and apparently uncontrollable desire to sin in particular ways, strongholds, addictions, for example. So we know that he can oppress. Ananias was a believer, and Peter asked him in Acts 5:3, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You know. Luke, at the Last Supper, Luke 22:3-4, when Satan entered Judas, named Iscariot, right? And then he went to betray the Lord. So, when you get patterns, cycles, even after they've repented, been forgiven, and then they resist, and then they sin again, and they repent, and they, you know, when you kind of do that whole stronghold battle thing, then you know there's usually probably demonic oppression involved as well. Different diseases that may not necessarily heal very quickly or easily can be some signs. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is a demon. Okay, there can be other reasons for things going on, but it's possible, right? We don't want to always assume a demon. I don't necessarily go looking for demons. I would rather focus on what the Father is saying and what the Father's doing and say what he says. And I kind of look at it this way too, and this is just my version, and probably because I love inner healing so much, but inner healing and deliverance go in such hand in hand, just like when we talk about unforgiveness, for physical healing can sometimes be impeded by not having inner healing, right? The same thing is true for deliverance, okay? The enemy can't be there unless he's got permission and open doors, we've talked about before, period, okay? He just can't. There's got to be something there. And sometimes I've seen in deliverance ministry where people will try to cast out a spirit. Let's say anger is on somebody and they're raging and they're angry and they're in a fit or whatever and they're really upset. And, you know, a deliverance minister can try to cast that out. Well, what if that's a part of them that's really angry? You can't cast out a part of your heart. You can't cast out something that you are feeling. And so it's different than it being a spirit per se. Now, is the spirit influencing that? Yeah. Can a spirit be tied to the lie or the wounding that's there? Yeah. But the person that you're yelling at and talking and they're not really acting like themselves doesn't necessarily mean that that's a spirit talking to you though either. It could just be a really angry person. Okay. So don't always assume a demon is what I'm saying. And I love this from Graham too. He's like, and you know, don't try to talk to them and get their names because they're liars. So it's, you know, that's a waste of time. But so we like this 10-step method because it is quiet. It is pastoral. It is loving. It is non-humiliating. And it's extremely effective. It's what Randy uses in his crusades in many churches. It's what they've seen be very practically done and very well done. And so it was honored. And that's why we want to follow this model. We like this model a lot. We know that deliverance was central to the ministry of Jesus. I'm not going to go through all those examples. He cast out many demons. It says several times in scripture that he cast them all out. He told the disciples, the kingdom of heaven's at hand, so go heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you've received, so freely give. Luke 10:17 says, when the 70 returned after they were sent back out two by two, they returned with joy, saying, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Why were they surprised by that? It was something new. Listen, they knew the demonic stuff was around there. We don't really pay attention to that as much, I don't think, here in the Western world, but you go overseas and you spend some time in Thailand and they believe in the spiritual realm, okay, to the point where they actually build little houses for them, okay? So they are much more aware of that, okay? It was a new thing that they were surprised by because even though they saw the manifestation before, they actually obeyed them in the name of Jesus, right? So that's what we have to remember, is that they were subject to us in your name. That's big. It's a big deal. So it talks about there's different occasions for deliverance ministry. The reason why we're teaching this specifically is because if there's ever an opportunity for altar ministry here, especially as we're training our altar teams, but you're going to be out there in the world. That's what we're wanting you to do, is to equip you and empower you to be out there, and sometimes something will happen, and you're learning to hear the Lord, right? And so you might discern that there's a demonic thing that you need to take authority over. And so we want you to be able to walk in boldness and be able to do that. There could be some visible manifestations. Sometimes there's no demonic manifestation, so we have to be able to learn how to discern that as well. But there are some different clues. If a person is harming themselves or other people, biting, scratching, that would be demonic, okay? Physical appearance can change, like body distortions, facial contortions. That's why we want you to keep your eyes open when you pray with people, to observe. especially if they refuse to make eye contact or their eyes start rolling back, if they're screaming, if they're hostile in any way, if there are sudden headaches, nausea, sudden violent actions, lots of destructive actions, I'm talking, this isn't normal tantrum, this is beyond, right? Hissing, things like that. Now, I like that they talked about the difference between, how do you know the difference between a Holy Spirit manifestation and a demonic manifestation? You got to look at the spirit by which it's being influenced, right? So if there's heat, tingling, electricity, fluttering eyelids, it can be trembling and shaking. That can be Holy Spirit, okay? But let's look at the fruit. Was there peace? Was there joy? Was there a shift there? I see you. Hold on just a minute. And, you know, so they may, you know, swoon, you know, be falling out in the spirit or whatever. But again, look at the fruit. Is there peace? Is there joy? Is there laughter? Even if there's tears sometimes, I mean, you have to be able to learn how to discern the fruit of it. The times when you can doubt might be, you know, just ask them, how are you feeling? You know, if they're feeling tormented, if they're feeling, if it's bad, if they are starting to feel fear or terrified, you know, or if they're not able to answer and a different voice shows up or whatever, those are some clues. You had a question.
Yeah, so I understand, like, when you're ministering as a team in a church setting,
yes,
that it's different how you confront it out in the world. Like, for instance, what am I supposed to do? I volunteer at Christus Santa Rosa on Fridays.
Yeah.
And I remember one time they put me in a room with a guy that they needed to watch constantly because he was going through psychological things.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm in somewhere like that.
Right. Yeah. That's a great question. Yeah, no, it's a great question, and we do get to that to some degree in here in terms of what are the steps that you need to take if you're in that room. I do think his question is like, okay, let's say we're outside the church walls and, you know, and he is at a hospital observing somebody or whatever who's having these things and a demon shows up. First of all, you can tell it to quiet, to be quiet, to take authority over, and tell it to submit in the name of Jesus. Now, you have to decide if you're comfortable moving in that place. I have enough boldness that I want to honor the location for sure. For example, when we would take teams out and we would go to the ER and we would sit in the waiting room, we would be extremely honoring and we would just be praying. And as we would naturally have conversation with people, we would ask if we could pray. And if they didn't want us to, then we didn't. We just prayed quietly to ourselves. We weren't going to go knocking on every door or trying to, you know, invade people, because we do everything from a place of honor. But no demon is going to go if the person that is being afflicted doesn't agree with you. So that's part of the steps that we're going to go through in this 10-step prayer model, is you have to speak to the person and have them be able to agree with you to want to be free. Otherwise, it's a waste of time, because even if you were to cast it out, it will go, and seven more worse than itself will come back, is what Jesus said, and inhabit that place if Holy Spirit doesn't come in and fill, right? And for that person to be a believer. So they have to agree with you. Everything has to be done according to the person's free will. So they can give free will and open up that door and want the demon and still be there and not. Your specific question was really more about, do I need to ask permission for the other people there? Well, I don't know by what capacity you're there. If I was working there, I have authority there because I work there. My personal, when I've been in places like that, when I've worked in inpatient hospitalization or whatever, I've just said, this is who I am and this is what I believe. And so that's what I'm going to pray. But again, I'm talking to the person and to the patient and saying, do you give me permission to go there? Because if they don't, then you're not going to get anywhere anyway, right? And so you do want to be honoring of where you're ministering and not just go blazing saddles, you know, into a place or whatever either. There is honor. But no matter what, you know, if the person who's manifesting doesn't, if you can't talk to that person, that's why we want their eyes to be looking at you and to maintain eye contact and your eyes to be open, because they have to give their free will and exercise their authority to give you permission to help them get free. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Okay. It's a great question, though, and I'm thankful you guys are feeling free to ask, because I want you to feel free to do that. But I also want to be honoring of our time, and we've got 10 steps to go through. So first of all, I'm just going to skim through some of this stuff, because I hope that you know this, and if you don't, go and read this chapter. Get the book, okay? But again, personal preparation is important. Okay, if you're going to help other people get free, then you've got to have a level of freedom. You can only give away what you've got. Okay, so you need to be able to make sure that your heart is in a good place, that you're, you know, your primary object of ministry is not to punish the demon. It is to help the person that God loves. This is not you coming in, like I said, blazing saddles, ready for a war, right? Like, he's already defeated. Like, get out of the second heaven and get into the third. You know what I'm saying? Because that's when he's our footstool, right? So we have to be able to realize that there are some limitations sometimes. We do need their willingness. The person who's being ministered to, they have to be willing to change whatever the lifestyle is, or renounce whatever the sin is, or whatever the open door is, or, you know, there's nothing, you could try to shake them, but it ain't gonna, you know, it's not gonna help. It's just like shaking a person and saying, hey, you need to, whatever it is, you can't control people, right? We have to empower them. We have to give them free will choice for them to be able to ask for help and to say that. So we have to be able to speak to the person. That's why it's important to be able to maintain eye contact and all of that, like it said before that. So the open doors are important. The objective of deliverance ministry is twofold. One, to expel or drive away any demon, and two, to close its avenue of access and enable the victim to keep the avenue of access closed in the future in order to prevent any return of the evil spirit. That's important, okay? It is often effective that you minister in a team of two or three. Anytime that you are, you know, we've said this even on the prayer line, it's good if we can have a second person to be able to pray with somebody, especially if you can't always do, like, we really encourage females with females and males with males, and so that's why I think the model of Jesus 2x2 is really good, and especially if you might need a catcher up here. But even as you're ministering, you know, out there, be aware, right, of that gender thing and stuff too, to be able to, number one, it's always good to have a second person in there too, because you might need an intercessor, right, to be there to be able to pray over everything. But when you work in teams, it's really important in deliverance ministry specifically that someone is the lead. Okay, because demons are legalistic and they like chaos. So you have to present in order. God is a God of order. So if one person is doing ministry, but then someone else pipes in and does something or says something, then manifestation can increase again, or it can then fight, you know, there's not consistent authority here. Okay. So it's really important that that we make sure that you have that kind of lined up, or once somebody kind of steps into that position, you have them do that. And if you get something, then you can whisper it to the main minister, or take a note and pass it to the main minister and see if what you're getting, you know, is to be used. So here's the 10-step prayer model. Number one, always give the individual person priority. We want to be loving. We don't need to go in with some, like we put, a militant attitude. Firmness is necessary, but we don't have to scream and yell, okay? The demons are not deaf, even if they're a spirit of deafness. They are not deaf. It's about authority, not loudness or volume. You want to be encouraging and focus on the person. You want to raise hope. A lot of people, if you're specifically doing deliverance ministry, have probably already been there and done that and have gone through lots of different things, and there's been lots of discouragement or lack of hope because, you know, other stuff hasn't worked before, right? Like, I think about the father who had the boy that was tossed there and fro and tried to be burned and drowned or whatever, and the father's like, you know, Jesus and a couple of them are up on the, you know, Mount of Transfiguration while all the other disciples are down there praying, and it wasn't working. You know, and so he's like, well, your disciples tried, but It's not acting. So then Jesus has to come, and he explains this particular comes out by prayer and fasting. I don't think that's a formula. I think that's lifestyle that he was talking about. And with authority, he was able to get it to come out. But the Father was like, you know, he had no hope. You know, well, even they tried, so, you know. But he said, help my unbelief. So I think that was the open door that the Lord blessed, that he was willing. He was willing. Step two. If a spirit is manifesting, or if one manifests during ministry, make the spirit be quiet and submit to you in the name of Jesus. This is because we cherish honor. We want to be able to not let the demon make this person manifest, scream and wail and writhe on the floor and make them look like a fool. Okay, so we want to protect them. We want to protect the person. So we command the spirit, just like we do when we're commanding healing. We command with authority that it has to leave. And I'm telling you to learn how to have that roar come out of you. Okay? If you know, I like to use the mama papa bear kind of a thing. It's like, you ain't messing with my kids. You know what I mean? Like, you get that kind of authority. Like, you don't get to walk in my house without my permission. Who do you know? Like, no, you don't get to mess with my babies, right? You hear what I'm saying? That's the kind of authority you've got to take, because that's how you have to be able to speak to it. And you tell it to submit in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be real wordy or lengthy. It's a 5-year-old prayer. Be quiet, stop, submit in the name of Jesus. And you just keep repeating it until it does. And you command it in the name of Jesus to be quiet. Don't be surprised if this takes time. They're stubborn. Be persistent. You have to command it, even sometimes several times, but it will come under submission. If there's others around you while you're trying to quiet the spirit, ask them not to touch the prayee or not to speak or pray loudly. Again, a single person needs to be the main person ministering to that. We've got to be able to have that kind of authority, because then they are stepping into authority. And if someone else comes along and starts praying with that too, you've diluted the authority. Maybe that's a good way of saying it. Okay, you've diluted the authority in the ministry time. So we want to be able to maintain the authority in the person that's doing that. And we also talk about not necessarily touching and stuff too, because that can stir things up as well. So it's important to just have that main person talk to that person. And then you want to, step three, establish and maintain communication with the prayee, the person, okay? We don't need to talk to the demon. We just tell it to shut up. We tell it to be quiet. We tell it to be still. And then we talk to the person. And what is their name? And we want to try to, can you look at me? I need you to look at me. I need you to be able to see me. Can you see me? Okay, so I want to talk to them and I want to use their name. I'm going to be extremely loving, because we have to have their cooperation if we want it to be successful. You have to make sure that the person can hear you. That's why they've got to be able to try to have their eyes open, maintain communication while they're looking at you. Ask them to keep their head up, because sometimes their head will flop or whatever. And then you have to go back to, you know, telling it to stop, okay, telling it to be quiet. You can tell it specifically not to speak. And there's really no point in moving forward until you can get that agreement, quite frankly. You don't need to argue with the spirit. Don't get involved with the conversation. When it starts saying stuff, you just tell it to be quiet and you talk to the person. Get past the demon to the person, okay? Step four, ask the person what they want to be free from and try to make sure that they actually want to get free. Again, I know we're breaking these steps down really specifically, but it's really important. You have to be able to get that. And there may be 2 or 3 or 4 different things. Like, they may have a list of stuff. Well, pick one to start with. Go after one at a time. That's really important too. Again, order. Okay. Make sure that they want to be free. Make sure that they're willing to want to be able to stop things, you know, like the bad habits or the sin or whatever it is that might have been an open door with any of that stuff. Step five, make sure that they've accepted Jesus. Make sure and say, do you know the Lord? Have you received him as your Savior? Then let me hear you say it. Because you can only say it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. So I just want to hear just, yeah. Because demons lie, right? So that it could be the demon talking to me. So then declare, you know, tell me, how do you know Jesus? You know, who is he to you or whatever, you know, to be able to say that Jesus is Lord. And so if not, then walk them through the prayer to receive him, that they confess sin, ask for forgiveness, and that he, that you declare him to be Lord. And it's really, really important. I'll tell you, we were ministering at the beach overseas one time, and this couple was ministering to a girl who was selling some jewelry and things. And as they were praying for her, she started manifesting. And they went right into, I was praying for somebody else, and they went right into deliverance. My eyes freaked out. I'm just being real. I did. I was like, okay. And this was like, I've had the stories of, or heard this stuff, but this was my first encounter of the manifestation happening in my face. And so I'm watching, and I'm watching this couple who's very well versed in it, and they apparently have done it lots of times before, and you could see that they were walking through it or whatever. But in my spirit, I kept thinking, but is she saved? But is she saved? But like, does she know Jesus? Like, what are you doing? Well, anyway, long story short, they were able to cast it out. And then they say, would you like to accept Jesus? And I'm like, oh, this is so backwards. You know, and I'm like, you have to. Like, I'm praying going, you have to receive him now. And to explain, because it can be worse if you don't. Jesus just healed you. And so I try to just minister love. And the couple was doing great too. But I'm like, I'm not really talking, right? Like, they're the lead. So I'm in the background going, oh, Jesus. She has to say yes. Like, are you guys going to say, and like, because I didn't know these people very well, right? So I'm like, are they going to do it? And they did, but they just walked right into the deliverance without double checking this step first. And that's huge, because the testimony that she had, which I think, thank you, Jesus, that she did receive him, but she said she had gone everywhere to get free. She had gone to the Buddhist monks. She'd gone to the shamans. She'd gone to the witch doctors. She'd gone to different places or whatever, and no one could get this thing out. And she was being tormented, and she felt it leave and described how it left. And, you know, she had puked up and manifested and stuff, and it was just kind of freaky. And it was my first, and I'm like, Jesus, you know, she's got to say yes. And so she did, and you just saw the change on her face, right? Because he's the one who set her free. You know, and so we really then spent a lot of time explaining who Jesus was, because as far as we knew, she didn't know who he was, right? So then we plugged her into a ministry, and the beauty of that testimony is later this couple, a year later, went to go minister in that same nation with another ministry there, and they actually saw her connected to that ministry in that place where they had first introduced her into that ministry. So she was thriving a year later, and that was a beautiful testimony. But I'm just telling you, fear of the Lord came upon me and being like, oh no, she has to say yes, because we've got to get that part down.
Can you clarify, what would they have done differently? Like you're saying, they went right into deliverance.
Yes.
So like the steps you just listed.
Yeah, if she's manifesting, I would have told it to stop. Yeah. I would have told it to stop. They went right into get out. Leave her, get out. I would have said, stop in the name of Jesus and submit. Stop, stop, submit. I would have said that first. In the name of Jesus, I release peace over you. I command you, demon, to stop. I would have told it to stop so that she would be able to not be manifesting and puking and, you know, rolling around on the beach, you know, and being completely humiliated in front of everybody. And the scene of whoever could have been walking by and seeing her. Do you know what I mean? So I would have told it to stop, and that's what this model is, that you tell it to stop first, and then ask and have her look at you and say, tell me your name. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you want to be free? Well, the only way you're really going to be free is if you know Jesus. So do you want to be free? Well, then you have to receive Jesus first, and he's going to help you kick it out. But they have to make a choice. And see, the thing is in some nations, they can just put Jesus on the shelf with all their other gods, right? So it's like, this is the one and only, you know, kind of a thing. So you got to have him, or the other ones are not going to, you know, he's got to help kick him out, right? And so you have to kind of do a little bit of a teaching sometimes there. Just depends on where you're ministering, but that's how I would have done that different. Thank you for that question. But we're following this model. Step 5, make sure that they've accepted Jesus. And then here comes the actual ministry time. So step 6 is to interview and discover what it was that might have led them to this bondage. To be able to talk to the person, okay, not being distracted by the manifestation of the demon, but talking to the person saying, do you happen to know what allowed this to enter? Do you happen to know when did this start? It's the same kind of interview questions that you did with the physical stuff, right? But we're looking for the open door. Has there been, do you know when it started? Do you know when, what it's connected to? And majority of the time they do. They know, you know, all of this is, you know, generational, or it's because of whatever, you know, this first started when the witch, you know, cursed me, or whatever it is. You know, but sometimes you can do an interview types of things, and they go into a little bit more inner healing ministry kinds of stuff where you're actually going to have time to work with this person. So I just want to make you aware of that a little bit, that you ask, you know, about the most important relationships in their life. If there's trauma, you know, father wounds, mother wounds, again, anyone they need to forgive, if someone comes to mind, has there been any major traumas or accidents that have happened? Has there been lots of criticisms, or is, you know, wounding of your heart? Finding some simple things like that, you know, asking some questions to interview, what could be some of those open doors that we talked about last week? Not just curses, but any other open doors that have let them in, and we have to be able to release forgiveness. Any inner vows, things like that, all the stuff that we talked about last week. Again, gently being able to ask, is there any particular sin, anything that you're doing in your life that's not what God wants for you, right? Any place that gives you shame or guilt every time you participate in it. You know, sometimes that will lead people to know what they're doing, or what had happened. And I remember one particular one saying, well, it started ever since they moved into their new home. Well, I think it has to do with what was in the home or in the land too, right? So we address them first, and then I would give instruction on how to take authority and cleanse their home, or to go and help them do that, kind of a thing. So you just kind of ask the Lord to help you walk through that interview process, and the more detailed the forgiveness and repentance can be, the better, especially where there's depression, self-harm, rejection, suicidal ideation, you know, those kinds of things, brokenness. It's very much tied to inner healing kinds of issues and stuff too. And sometimes, you know, there are layers to that as well for that freedom, okay? Just so you know that. So there's lots of great tips about how to do that interview. We'll talk about freedom tools soon in the fall, I think. And one of the tools is called the four doors. And so when you're aware of the four doors, fear, anger are two big doors. And then there's occultic activity, you know, witchcraft, things like that. And then sexual sin. Those are automatic four doors that are very easy to identify. So you can just kind of walk through those four. Is anything highlighted there as you're doing the interview process? Again, make sure you go through one issue at a time, shutting those doors, repenting and renouncing. That's step 7, closing all of those doors, because the demon can't be there without some reason, right? So they broke down step 7 and a couple of other smaller steps. Forgive the one that's caused any hurt. Sometimes even saying, I choose to forgive, help me to forgive, right? Repenting for any sin of their own stuff that they need to do to forgive themselves. Breaking soul ties, we talked about that before, and then renouncing any of these things. And I encourage people to do it audibly. This is when it's good to just have simple prayers that they can repeat after you. And I always tell people, I always empower people to change my language, okay? Because the very thing that walked them into stuff could be that they blindly have made agreements that they shouldn't have agreed with in some situations, right? So I don't want them to blindly disagree with me. I always say to them, I'm going to give you some simple prayers to repeat after me to renounce these things to help you. But if you don't feel like you can do that, then don't. Tell me. Or if you need to change my language, go ahead. You don't have to say the words that I say, right? And so you give them permission to say what they need to say, because then they take authority and ownership of the renunciation. I don't want them to just remotely, like a robot, repeat after me. Like, they've got to be able to really own it and mean it, you know? So I try to give them time to take through it, but I also make it really simple. Like, don't give them a paragraph, you know, to repeat. Like, baby steps, 5-year-old prayer, especially when you're in that place, like, you're not really thinking really clearly. It's pretty emotional usually, okay? So real simple kind of prayers, you know, and there's some great examples in the book and stuff too. But just, you know, in the name of Jesus is always important. I renounce or reject just whatever it is, right? And then you let them share what they need to say. Make sure that you're keeping eye contact. make sure that they've done all the renunciation, and then, you know, you can walk through some prayer for healing and stuff like that. But then step eight is to cast out the actual thing, you know, and so, you know, I really like that they always talk about, like, the more specific, the better, like the spirit of, you know, instead of just go demon, you know, like the spirit of heaviness or spirit of cancer, or spirit of self-harm or depression or whatever it is that you can tie it to, you know, I think that's good. usually, if the doors have been effectively closed, the spirits will leave quietly and quickly. If we feel here's some just examples that they put in here. More than two or three commands are needed. If the spirit, quote unquote, sticks in the throat of the prayee, if there's groans or sweats or strains, or if they get nauseous or any of that kind of stuff, then you're still wrestling. So you still kind of have to deal with that spirit to go back and quiet it again, go back to the interview stage, make sure, is there any other door, you know, something else that we're missing, because they should be able to leave once all that stuff is gone. And I like the analogy of, you know, if you stick a bowl of water, or like, let's say we have a kiddie pool, and you leave it outside in the summer, you're going to grow mosquitoes, right? Or if you leave garbage just sitting out there for days, you're going to start growing maggots and larvae or whatever nasty stuff, okay? You don't have to shoo every fly and name every fly and figure out where it all came from in order to get rid of all the flies. Like, I understand the concept of shadow boxing, but it's really annoying to me because it just is a waste of time and energy. Get rid of the garbage and the flies will go. So that's really important, is just to figure, you don't have to name all the flies and all that stuff. I think you deal with whatever the garbage is, you've shut the doors, and they don't have permission to be there anymore. So then you cast them out. When you think you've finished step eight, ask the prayee whether there are any other spirits to be dealt with. Ask them to take inventory. Are they all gone? You know, see what they discern about themselves, because they may tell you, no, there's more, okay? And you can, again, try to continue or wait and see if Holy Spirit gives you or shows you something else. But if we know that they've been released, then step nine is ask them to praise and thank Jesus. Now, you can do it too, but I always empower the person to do it because it needs to come out of them. They just got delivered. You know, praise them. Let's thank him. And I want to hear that, because I also know brain science connects with this place of joy when we walk into appreciation and thankfulness, okay? Like, that literally can affect your brain chemistry and stuff too. So it's a way to connect your physical body with your emotion and with your spirit. And so we move into worship, move into thanking him. Step 10, finally, is just to ask the person to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill and to fill all places formerly occupied by the evil spirits. My phrase is usually, is it okay if we ask you now for Holy Spirit to fill you? You know, and because the word says to be constantly and continually filled, but we really want him to fill up every vacated place now, that there's no empty rooms, okay? And so, you know, and then you pray, you know, and have them receive the Lord in that way to fill all of that, okay? It does walk into some, what they call mini deliverances, you know, when a couple of things pop up here and there, just kind of how to keep your house clean, you know, you kind of have to do some maintenance. And so that would be kind of just encouraging them afterwards, just to be able to say, you know, you're free, walk in that freedom, walk in that deliverance. But if you feel like, you know, stuff gets stirred up again, declare your freedom. And but, you know, if you need to do a little bit more house cleaning, if you, you know, feel like you missed a spot and something else shows up, then let's walk through it again, you know, and go through these same steps that we just did. And you can empower them to do it, but or you can have them, you know, come back to you to pray for them as well or whatever. So give them some kind of suggestions, rest, to really, you know, get some support, you know, or counseling or whatever, to be able to really stay free. And encourage them to maintain, you know, a spiritual life. And I think it's always really good to even just ask. Don't assume anything. Like, do you have a Bible? You know? Well, I'm going to make sure they get one, you know? Or give them some simple steps. Like, hey, like, you know, read through Psalm 91 for the next week. You know, pray that protection psalm. Pray, you know, just give them a psalm, Psalm 103, even, or just give them something that they can pour themselves into and just let the Lord love on them, you know, or give them a couple scriptures of encouragement. And of course, it just says encourage them to walk in forgiveness as a lifestyle, to be quick to forgive. To make sure that they have people that can support them in it. Of course, we want to be able to create that in this house, to be able to have life groups or you know, and we want to raise up inner healing ministers and things like that too, that we can lead people to, you know, walk things out with and discipleship and stuff too. So if you're called to that, you are invited, you know, to talk to me about that as we grow that here. Because we want to make sure that we can keep them free. That's what Jesus paid for, right? Okay, so I think it's also really important not only that you prayed to prepare yourself for this ministry time, but especially when you're doing heavy deliverance or inner healing work, it is really important for you to pray cleansing prayers over yourself too, as an intercessor. Even if you're interceding in any other capacity, it's just really good practice. Okay, like I know you put the armor on and don't ever take it off, right? But it's really good to just say, Lord, would you just wash off anything that I got myself in touch with today by doing this work with you? Would you protect me and my family from any repercussions? Protect this prayee and their family for any repercussions that the enemy is not able to, you know, to attack back or whatever, that you just release that greater hedge of protection and extend it, and that you cleanse from anything that I got in contact with, that you just wash it from me. Nothing can jump or stick or get passed on in any way in Jesus' name, right? Like, I just think it's really important for you to walk through that. Joy Lamb has a really great book for intercessors. It's The Sword of the Spirit, The Word of God. It's a really great book, and it has lots of different, like, structured prayers that intercessors can pray, and she's got one that's really good about just being able to cleanse yourself in that regard. The Sword of the Spirit, The Word of God. She takes scripture and basically highlights scripture and says, thank you, Jesus, that, and then rephrases the scripture, tells you the location, but she has them in chapters and categories of, like, when you're in intercession for this, or when you're in intercession for that, or when you're, so they're scripted prayers that are biblical prayers that I think are really good. Now, at the back of the book, there is appendix that I'm not going to go through, but I think it is really good. So please get it and review it, because in the first appendix will walk you through different types of doors that might be opened, and it just runs a list. It's a nice little checklist that if you do take extra time with somebody to sit down with them, then this is going to help you in the interview process to be able to say, does any of this stuff land with you that could be an open door, right? Especially if they're really open and coming to you to help pray with them about some things. And they also look at those different areas, body, soul, and spirit. It has that in there. Has suggestions for maintaining your freedom, and you know, just kind of a questionnaire at the back too for ministry teams. So we're good on time. We weren't that far over today.